Hello, everybody, and welcome to our 67th program on Rays and the Initiations. This is a webinar commentary, and we've been, DK is doing a review here. He's talking about the personality and a fifth major energy, which has to be added to it. A great and dynamic synthesis is present, which at the time when the initiatory process has begun, is in reality a composite of five energies. And that has to be there with some degree of soul infusion before initiation is at all possible. So he talks about the energy of the soul, a threefold energy. We've discussed the jewel and the lotus, the petals and the, we don't call them so much the three permanent atoms as the atomic triangle, because one of them, the mental unit, is not really fully a permanent atom. It has only four spirillae, whereas the other permanent atoms in the physical body of the planetary logos have seven spirillae. Then the energy of the personality, and it is a ray that has been evoked by the synthesis of the three. And then he lists mental vehicle, emotional vehicle, and he calls it also the physical body. He doesn't mention the etheric, but I think it should be, unless he's using the etheric in a special sense. He says this is all elementary information, but he's repeating it for the sake of clarity. That unit, which is made of integrated energies, is called the soul-infused personality. And even as an initiate of the threshold, we have some degree of soul infusion. Excuse me. So enough soul energy is present to guarantee the minimum of soul control, which will make the initiatory process effective. And he defines initiation as a process whereby successive integrations, you know, with higher and higher vehicles and points of tension, attended by, naturally enough, consequent expansions of consciousness, become possible. So now he's going to talk about these integrations, successive integrations. Right, and so this takes us into number 67, and I just want to have my little red bracket there. So the fusion of the energies of the soul-infused personality with the triple energies of the spiritual triad. This is a later and successive fusion. This requires the presence and use of the antikarana. And the fusion with the monad, of which the spiritual triad is an expression. What kind of expression? A personality expression. This is an effusion with the world consciousness, eventually. Higher initiates have this, of the planetary logos to a degree which makes the planetary life, with all its states of consciousness and phenomena, a major confining and constricting form for the initiate. This is what the higher initiate feels at a certain point when, I would say, monadic consciousness has been reached. Because then there is the, there's always, with the spirit at the root of what we are, the essence of the monad at the root of what we are, the desire to, or aspiration, or what is it, the will, to go further and further until we re-become the whole, which we always have been. Right there is a problem. You know, we are in our mistaken identity quite convinced that we are only the part, and, you know, you can seem quite mad or half mad anyway if you say to someone, well, really, you are the whole or the wholeness. The macrocosmic whole is all there is, and that means your little separative and separate and often separative identity is not telling you the truth about your real identity, which is wholeness. We have to work our way into an appreciation of wholeness, which we all share, and finally our little identities fade away in the wholeness, or let's just say that the wholeness includes all the little identities. Well, this is perhaps not news to anyone, but to make it a real apprehension, a real understanding, then it does change our consciousness entirely. So triad, monad, and planetary logos, these are the fusions. These three are the immediate fusions which are achieved on the path of initiation. In connection with this final fusion, well, it's, you know, it's only final to a point, but with respect to the planetary God, it may be final. Of course, we have to have the fusion with the scope of the globe lord, the fusion with the scope of the chain lord, and finally, eventually, the fusion with the scope and consciousness of the entire planetary scheme, the logos through his planetary scheme. And that's just the beginning of solar systemic fusion. On and on it goes. We are in quite a state of deep immersion. Well, time, you know, it exists and it doesn't exist. And here we are, and how we ever reached here is really a problem if one thinks linearly, because there's always an infinitude preceding any exactly definite point. So, like Aristotle said, infinity is untraversable. It's a problem. But anyway, we have to think about it. In connection with this final fusion, it is worthwhile to point out that when this stage of development is attained, it then becomes possible to enter into the exalted state of mind, which holds the planetary logos focused in the consciousness of the sacrifice which he has made by means of the entire process of manifestation. Well, let me, you know, kind of underline it. I think one day you will, you know, you will have all of these enlargements and highlights and underlinings in your copy of the program, but then maybe I'll find a way to get this to you, this particular paper, once it's finished, in Word document. Well, you know, on what plane is this? Is, you know, we can say, is this still on the cosmic physical plane? Because there's a lot more to the planetary logos than that which is cosmic physical. But anyway, the planetary logos is, like Sanat Kumara, a great sacrifice. And he has given up so much spiritual possibility in a cosmic sense in order to raise the lives in prison who demand to request the presence of an entering God, you know. Quite a story there where he really didn't want to go. Maybe that's quite symbolic. He turned toward the solar logos, but the solar logos did not avert his head, you know, and did not answer when the planetary logos said, look, this isn't what I wanted. I wanted scope for this and scope for that, and instead there's imprisonment. Well, if the planetary logos is a great sacrifice, the solar logos is even a greater sacrifice. And on the human level, Master Moria has said, when have you ever become less? Through sacrifice. So in the darker moments when you feel like you may be losing things, having to give them up, remember Master Moria's words. As the secret doctrine has pointed out, the sacrifice which he has made on behalf of the untold myriad of lives which compose his body of manifestation hold him in physical expression until the last weary pilgrim has found his way home. So beautiful I made a song out of that once. It really refers to Sanakumara, but then Sanakumara is an expression of the planetary logos for sure. Okay, so what's going to happen there? Right, so this is the planetary logos as the one who stands at his post until the last weary pilgrim has found his way home. Well, this is a question, you know. Obviously, this is not referring only to humanity. Maybe when it deals with Sanatkumara, or in some of these other sacrificial emanations, it's not the whole planetary scheme that is being discussed. But when it is the planetary logos, it is the entire planetary scheme which is being discussed. So there is, we can say here, the planetary logos plays his part in what I call, and I wonder if I can call this ER. Okay, it could be a problem calling it ERTR. Let's call it that, then it won't get confused. ERTR, and not DRTR, but ERTR. Okay. Sometimes those capitals are pesky things. And I call this emanative retraction. And this is the process of amalgamating and fusing and synthesizing that which has gone forth in partiality. So that which has gone forth as an emanation and in partiality is re-fused with the whole. Eventually. Okay. Right. The extent and essential purpose of this divine sacrifice become increasingly clear to the initiate after the fifth initiation and constitute one of the prime factors which are considered by him when he faces the initiation of decision. So, let's just say that, okay, let's say this, that we really don't know this Finnish keyboard is driving me crazy, don't know how much has been done for us as an EX monadic extension. Okay, MDX, monadic MDCEX. All right, how about that? So that's really what we are. We're in a monadic extension, MDCEX, and extension. We don't know how much has been done to retract us emanatively by those lives which have already been retracted, have turned around, have completed to an extent the return journey on their great pilgrimage. Okay. So, onward. At no stage of his unfoldment does he comprehend the basic purpose, and speaking occultly, the dynamic extent of this sacrifice as it is implemented by the will of the planetary logos. Let's just say that, I'm always losing my red bracket there. Okay, planetary logos. This realization is beyond any initiate approaching the planetary logos. I mean, when you stop to think that a planetary logos is many Mahamanvantaras beyond the master, the initiate of the fifth degree is what the planetary logos was, we are told, many Mahamanvantaras ago. Now, a Mahamanvantara may be considered the duration of a solar system in some hundreds of trillions of years, and there are also maybe lesser Mahamanvantaras, but they are very, very long periods of time. So the basic purpose is not understood, but more and more of the purpose is understood. The extent and essential purpose becomes clear after the initiation of mastership, and when one becomes a Chohan and has to make that decision, let's just say that, we'll do it this way, some may be inclined, realizing the sacrifice of the planetary logos, to choose the path of Earth's service. And there, all those paths should be POES, and that'll be the path of Earth's service. All the paths should be abbreviated. But the story goes that, let's put it like this way, but only a certain number are required. And this is up to the planetary logos. But now all initiates of the sixth degree are being retained. Such is the emergency, temporarily on the path of Earth service. Okay. So, the basic purpose is not understood. It's probably more in the consciousness of the solar logos. The dynamic extent, the willed extent. Every time we see the word dynamic, it implies the first aspect. Okay, so is this the willed extent of the basic purpose? Anyway, it's beyond us, and many Mahamanvantaras, whatever that figure definitely means, many Mahamanvantaras beyond even initiates of the sixth and even higher degrees. We are really tiny, tiny units when you compare this to the development of the of a planetary logos. It takes so long. I mean, our time sense, the scope of our understanding of time is so minimal. You know, we begin with that idea that what was it? Bishop Usher said that the universe had been created, or creation occurred at 4004 BC at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we've been limited, you know, to the idea that creation is 6,000 years old, and many people buy that, but they, of course, haven't thought it through. Anyway, we don't know the sacrifice. Nevertheless, he, the high initiate, does respond to a mental understanding of the lowest objective of the sacrifice and to the nature of the periphery, or to the imprisoning form, the sum total in which the planetary logos has chosen to imprison himself, even though the planetary logos has the psychology of a divine rebel, we are told. And hence our rebellion, as we are monadic units at this time within the planetary logos. For the first time in his life experience, he arrives at a comprehension of the principle of limitation. Well, you would think that some of this might have dawned on him, but is a very imposing lesson. I mean, we experience limitation all the time. Limitation all the time under Saturn. And there's one we've got to have. Good old Saturn. Oh, well, he's there. So what's the problem? Under Saturn, as a human being, but to see what the planetary logos is going through is to really understand circumscription. Beyond this exalted state of mental perception, the initiate is not yet able to penetrate. He is limited by that sphere of activity which we call the seven planes, I guess, and which in their totality is the cosmic physical plane. So there is the answer to what we asked. Is all this taking place on the cosmic physical plane, and hence the limitation of the understanding of even the high initiate of the 6th degree or 7th degree, SVDG, DG, 7th degree. It's amazing what Master DK has offered us, as he has said, you know, more than you can ever assimilate, but, well, we can go down trying, right? Okay. Many lesser fusions take place within the phase of initiatory development, which intervenes between initiation and initiation. So there are interim stages, and the six formulas, are there six or are there seven? Six formulas in Dyna 2 tell us something about the interim stages. Also, Master DK has written about the lesser initiations other than the the quote great monastic initiations, of which even the first and second degree are considered to be a part. So anyway, a triple fusion between the three aspects of the mind, the lower mental vehicle, the soul or son of mind, and the higher abstract mind. So, excuse me. Right, the great monastic initiations. And, you know, when we studied the egoic lotus, we read of some of these. And between the first and second initiation, there are four initiations of the elements, fire, earth, air, and water. But anyway, lesser fusions are occurring, and in a way they are like lesser initiations. So what do we have? A triple mental fusion between the three aspects of the mind, the lower mind, the soul, the son of mind, and the higher abstract mind. And we can say say that this triple mental fusion relates to, RTS. How about that for relates? RTS. Right. And this relates to the mantram of the fifth ray, a mantram or word of power of the fifth ray, and it's three minds unite. So that's one type of fusion. Fusion with the master's consciousness, which will require the previous fusion before possible. Fusion with the ashram, created by the ray energy and which conditions his soul, maybe. And will this include the master's consciousness as well, in part perhaps? fusion in consciousness with the sum total of the integrated ashrams, which form the ashram of the hierarchy of Senakumara. So this is a fusion with the hierarchy. So all this is about successive fusions in consciousness and in energy between initiations. Okay, let's take a look at that. Within the phase of initiatory development, which intervenes between initiation and initiation. Okay, so the formulas and these others that are mentioned, namely, three minds unite, merging with the master's consciousness, merging with the entire ashram, merging with the hierarchy. I suppose it could go higher, you know, eventually if you are initiate of high degree, some degree of merging with Shambhala is possible, but not for all. These successive and subsidiary fusions reveal to him the phenomena and quality of the two higher states of consciousness, of the spiritual triad. And let's just say those which are outside the dense physical body of the planetary logos, because the higher mind, the abstract mind, the first subplane of the mental plane, is still within, well, at least it's within the dense physical body of the solar logos. So anyway, the Buddhic or state of pure reason and the Atmic or state of spiritually direct will intention. So these are the higher fusions, and this is what is revealed, and one wants to make that big enough so that it's really noticeable. They are successive and yet subsidiary when compared to the initiations themselves. But anyway, the two higher states of consciousness we can see here are outside Buddhic and Atmic, the dense physical body of the solar logos, the lower 21 subplanes, and then we have to ask whether the dense physical body of the planetary logos does include the subplanes of higher mind, or whether it's only the 18 lower subplanes. That's kind of an ongoing question. Anyway, gradually with successive fusions, either, you know, sort of in between various initiations and so forth, a great change in energy occurs and a great development in consciousness. The Buddhic or Atmic consciousness, these two are characteristic of the members of the hierarchy and not of us. We may get an occasional impulse from these levels, but our consciousness is not polarized on these levels. In giving you some insight into the relationship of the rays and the initiations, I find it essential to discover new and arresting words and word phrases by which to express the familiar hints and indications given to the occult groups who have sought to awaken the modern consciousness to the fact and purpose of initiation. So, you know, I guess we are the proverbial mule. Proverbial mule. And we have to be hit over the head with the new. It will arrest our attention. Otherwise, we might say, oh yeah, I've heard that one before. So, you know, DK is going deeper in this book than ever he has gone in presenting material on the rays and the relationship to the initiations. What a wonderful exposition, and one can only imagine what lies ahead in terms of the third installment of the Triple Revelation. Initiation is a progressive sequence of directed energy impacts, characterized by points of crisis and of tension, and governed, in a sense, not hitherto realized by the law of cause and effect. Well, that doesn't it sound like another one of those impressive, to be impressed, definitions of initiation, and one which we should ponder, a progressive sequence. So, you know, it is gradual, it is sequential, of directed energy impacts. We might say directed towards what? Directed towards certain chakras, characterized by points of crisis, which certainly will be caused with the coming in and anchoring of a new energy, and of tension as the old and the new are balanced and governed by the law of cause and effect. This he begins to explain. Excuse me. This law of cause and effect from the spiritual angle appears to the progressing initiate to reverse the process which has up till now governed his life. Well, what does DK mean by this? Okay, let's see if we can find out. Instead of his being impelled forward on the path of evolution by spiritual energies, which from higher spheres invoke and thus evoke his response and a developing expansion of consciousness, each successive initiation undergone, understood, and demonstrated upon the physical plane becomes the cause and influence which propels the initiate forward upon the path of initiation. So each initiation empowers the advancing initiate and is causally related to advancing towards the next possible initiation. So it's no longer the simply the higher energies which are, you know, invoking him and thus evoking his response. Rather, it is what he has achieved that is the cause of what he will achieve. So what the initiate has achieved is the cause of what he will achieve. So this is the power that we build into ourselves by our achievements. So he explains it further. In one case, the cause of progression is the streaming downward of energies, producing effects in that which is thus stimulated. Well, you know, we can relate to that, and we understand that we reach towards higher sources, and they do inspire us and drive us onward as we touch them. In the other case, the cause is to be found in the soul-infused personality and constitutes an upward movement of the initiatory self-directed activity of the measure of love energy which the soul can express and of the will, which is in itself the result of all the fusions he has at any moment been capable of consciously focusing and using. Well, that's a mouthful, but it's really a powerful. And that's the case which we are studying now, how our own initiatory achievement leads towards other initiatory achievements because of the power which has been gathered in the substanding initiatory achievements. Okay, so in the other case, the cause is to be found in the soul infusing, infused personality, and constitutes an upward movement. And this is what we have to provide of the initiatory self-directed activity, because, you know, we must strive towards the initiation. If we're careless of the coming accolade, it will not occur. If we're over-concerned with it, it will not occur. of the measure of love energy which his soul can express, because initiation at this stage and in our system is an expression of love wisdom. We don't have a pure will system yet, and of the energy of will which is in itself the result of the fusions he has at any given moment been capable of consciously focusing. So basically what DK is saying here, that our achievement of many fusions increases the power of our will. These are points which it will be difficult for you to grasp, but which are of major importance. So, you know, he's basically saying, POT, point of tension, no. Ponder on this is what he's saying. Ponder on this. So, you know, our initiatory life at a certain point of development, okay, I'm going to do that one too, if you don't mind. Point of DEV, okay, PODEV. Point of development. The capitals throw me here. Point of development. Okay. So at a certain point of development, it's the power, it is the resources we have gathered. It is the resources we have gathered which spur us along the initiatory path. So maybe everybody should take kind of an assessment and of what you think you have gathered on the path of probationary initiation, and how this gathering, this accumulation, this empowerment, strengthened by your accumulating will energy and your growing love energy and your increasing dynamic activity, can spur you particularly towards the next initiation, which it is your obligation to take, whether in this life or coming lives. The human being is influenced upon the path of evolution from above downwards. The initiate is directed from within upwards. There's a wonderful summary of exactly what he has been saying. And I think, let's make it really big so that we really see it. The human being, at a certain point, the human being is no longer a human being. Maybe being a master is the climax of being a human being, but at Chohan, they are no longer men, as are the masters, you know. Anyway, in the early stages of initiation, and before the probationary initiations, but certainly before the third initiation, the human being is influenced upon the path of evolution from above downward. But now, within ourselves, we have to have the resources. Whether we are a true initiate or probationary initiate, the initiate is directed from within upwards. It is this which formulates the underlying significance of the energy of free will. That's why we have to have it. And that's why there's such a law against infringing the free will, the Syrian law of freedom. So it is this which formulates the underlying significance of the energy of free will, and is something only truly possible through self-direction. So let's just say there we go again. I'm going to have to, you know, the bracket is always disappearing, and with it, the possibility. Okay, so let's put it like this, that the free-willed initiate must be self-directed as a as a soul-infused personality. Okay? Soul-infused personality. Okay. S-L-I-P-R. Like slipper. Okay. S-L-I-P-R. And, S-L-I-P-R. Good old Soda Logos is intervening there with his capitals. And there's nothing I can do about that. So, soul infused personality. And I suppose, personality. And I suppose if we wrote down the word slippers, S-L-I-P-R-S, we would have soul-infused personalities. Soul-infused personalities, which all of our groups, you know, esoteric groups should be. So the free-willed initiate must be self-directed as a soul-infused personality. This can be seen struggling for expression today in that great world disciple humanity. We're not yet that world initiate of the first degree humanity, but we are the great world disciple. We're also, in a way, an aspirant to higher possibilities. So this really tells the story, and it's something that in all my long years of study I seem to have overlooked or forgotten. The human being is influenced upon the path of evolution from above downwards. And as we meditate and we receive contact and inspiration, we are evoked by the invocation of that which we contact. But once we are on the path of probationary initiation, especially, I suppose, by the time we reach the second degree, we are influenced, directed from within with all of our accumulations upward, and we are, what can I call it, you know? We are, I always do that, don't I? So, I don't want to forget what I have to say here. We are a self propelling. Okay. Self-propelling. I think we'll know the word there. Come on now. ING. Okay. So, what does DK say here? Excuse me, just a little drink of water. All of my little side comments, unless they have some degree of thought or wisdom in them, can be ignored by the transcribers. But I just try to keep it natural, you know, as if we were in class together. And, of course, if we were in class, there would be lots of questions all along the way, and everything would take, you know, much longer. We're in a class of a kind, and it's my job to just keep rolling. And if you ever use this for study purposes with others, you can stop the program at any time that you like. These concepts are worthy of your careful consideration, indeed, because they're unusual. The sevenfold energy, which is today agitating mankind, marks a turning point in human history. Does he mean here the energy of the seven rays? So I'm going to put that in too, S-V-R. S, seven rays. Does he mean the energy of the seven rays? And indicates the possibility of the transition of humanity onto the path of discipleship. So in one way, he has already called humanity a, quote, great world disciple. I think in a sort of, you know, generic sense, not in any exacting sense. But there are all kinds of energies which are impacting the human race at this time. And Some of them are precessional and greater precessional and astrological, and of course the ray energies and the energies of avatars and things of that nature, those who are descending to help. Okay, D-I-S-C-I-P-L-E. Okay. On that path, freedom of expression and conscious self-directed living will become increasingly possible. And, not only possible, but necessary. We have to be a self, directed beings. And not just followers. We must look within for our inspiration. Of course, if we look deeply enough within, we find the monad, which is the source of being in everything. The true monad. There's only one monad that is the, at least in the universe, it is the spirit nature of the universal logos. And we could question whether we could carry the idea of monad into a post-pralayic expression. Well, okay, here we are. We have done some work. And now we are starting on a new section, and I think I will continue with it. Yes, it's a new section, the rays and the five initiations confronting humanity. Now, you know, that will take us to the fifth and the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth, which are in a way shambolic in nature, will be referenced, but not widely and deeply discussed. Although I think you can gather enough information from what Master DK has said to learn more about these initiations than we can ever apply. But at least a huge incentive has been given to us in the discussion of the nature of mastership and those shambolic initiations which lie beyond. Always, we as human beings will wither if there is no vision beyond the presently attained state. Some people think, well, this is it, you know, and they freeze it, and this is what you have to attain, but that's a sure sign of death, because the spirit demands everything. It doesn't just demand the achievement of a rather good state in terms of earthly possibilities. The earth is a tiny speck of dust, relatively speaking, and the universe is vast, and we are the universe, spiritually speaking. Though as emanations, obviously, we have our limitations. So the rays and the five initiations confronting humanity. At least to get the subject started, you know, let us now consider our theme of the rays and initiation. What we can say is DK always gives a worthy preamble. This signifies in reality a study of the rays as they actively condition the path of initiation. So, well, let's just say, what can we say? Certain rays give certain achievements and certain types of expansion of consciousness. Forget not that we are dealing here with the path of initiation and not primarily with the path of discipleship, though discipleship, of course, is endless when you consider relating to ever larger and deeper contexts. But anyway, the path of initiation is what is impending for humanity. Even though the two paths are very closely related, yes, okay. We are not dealing with the disciples' character and actions. What can we say that all this is assumed to be in process, and we are in a state of constantly improving our character. And it doesn't just, you know, in a way, it doesn't just end with the path of probation. There's all kinds of improvements of character which can continue on. I mean, you know, all you have to do is Look at how many who call themselves disciples, and I include myself, behave. And we see that it is possible constantly to improve the character, even though you may actually be on the path of discipleship in many respects. We are considering one thing only, the type of ray energy which makes any specific initiation possible, irrespective of the rays of the initiate. Now, this is so important. Sometimes the rays of the initiate will reinforce or be reinforced by the initiation one is going through, but sometimes it's just a question of, well, you have certain rays, but you're going through this initiation, and you have to use the rays, to use the rays which pertain to that particular initiation. You know, sometimes, though, as I say, you know, the person is equipped with the superplus or overplus of rays which pertain to the particular initiation when they have to take that initiation, and that makes for a more concentrated situation wherein achievement is perhaps more possible. Okay, so the type of ray energy which makes any specific initiation possible, we've reviewed it, you know, going from the bottom to the top, 7, 6, 5, 4, 1, 3, 2. Then the four rays of attribute and the three rays of aspect. You can sort out the numbers for yourself, but you know, it's all found on page 340. We are in fact considering initiation as a planetary process and not that process as it affects the individual initiate. So we are in, the planet as a macrocosm, one of our first. Solar system is a greater macrocosm, the local cosmic logo is still greater, and so forth. That we shall consider under our point, that we shall consider under our point, the significance of the initiations. Then we shall take each initiation and consider it as outlined on page 340. Okay. It's an important page to read, and really it's an important page to memorize because the key notes, I don't know if I've memorized it, maybe close, but the key notes of each initiation are there given. This you will probably find more interesting, but you will comprehend what I then say with greater facility if you grasp some of the implications as far as in you lies of what I have now to impart. So he knows what we consider, what word can I use? Let's say juicy and interesting, but is preparing us properly. As a great educator, of course, he would. Now, you know, and you can't give, one cannot give candy all the time. All right. These five initiations, these ones that that are available to humanity as humanity before becoming a Chohan, are under the impulses of rays, as I just said, 7, 6, 5, 4, plus the dynamic influence of Ray 1 at the time of the fifth initiation, you know. It is a Leo initiation, and Leo gives the first ray as well as the fifth ray, which FFR, I should have that, FFR. Oh, so that's going to be fifth ray, which resolves upon the first, right? FFR, wait a second, FFR, okay, fifth, FIFTH, and see, haste makes waste, no good. fifth ray, which, interestingly, which resolves upon the first ray, okay. So, 76541. And, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, you could continue the sequence in a way as a subsidiary way of describing the rays. There's something of the third ray, as we find in Cosmic Fire, involved with that fifth initiation. And maybe the second ray with the sixth and the first with the seventh. Now, where is that found? Where is that found? Well, yes. Maybe I can find it for us now. We'll call it the, it's Cosmic Fire. And it says something like harmonizing power, H-A-R-M-O-N-I-S, harmonizing. No, it's not going to be there. The aggressive power, the aggressive sixth. Okay, that should get us there. There it is. So we can see how the rays could just go in order. The magical force of the seventh logos is felt at the first initiation. The aggressive fire of the sixth logos is felt at the sixth initiation. The illuminating light of the fifth logos is felt at the third initiation. The harmonizing life of the fourth logos is felt at the fourth initiation. The blending power of the third logos is found at the fifth initiation. The unifying heat of the second logos is felt at the sixth initiation, and the dynamic electricity of the first logos is found at the seventh initiation. So I think we could throw that in. And we can say that also note this. Okay, and this would be TCF 433. So we can come at this from various perspectives, and we will do so. Right. Okay. Excuse me. Little cough here. Getting slightly out of control. Talking too much, you know. You will note, therefore, that these initiations which confront average humanity are all of them conditioned by a minor ray, yet finally bring in the energy of the highest ray of aspect, that of will or power. So four minor rays, plus in this case a kind of synthesis at mastership. Let's call it a synthesis on the first ray at mastership. This dynamic electric energy has to act in a new and different sense if the four higher initiations are to become living objectives in the initiate's consciousness. So the first ray provides a foundation for the higher initiations. It is for this reason that the fifth initiation is called the initiation of revelation. It's not been easy to figure out why it's called the initiation of revelation, except, you know, associated with Leo, it is a great sign of revelation. Some understanding of the first or will aspect is conceded at this initiation. It is presumed. And for the first time, the nature of divine purpose is revealed to the initiate. Whoa. Although later, you know, we're told divine purpose is more fully revealed, though never completely available to the understanding of the initiate. The purpose of the planetary logos is beyond that. Hitherto, he has been preoccupied with the nature of the plan, which is, after all, an effect of the purpose. So the nature of purpose, okay, DPR, comes in at the fifth initiation. Okay, friends, well, this is really amazingly interesting material, and I don't know what page we're on here by this time. We're on page 567, is that it? And we began somewhere Okay. I always go on that hunt, and I'm so sorry. I wonder if I could learn my lesson. Okay, there, that might be it. 563 to 567. 567. So, what we have here basically is the end of our work for number 67. Okay. I'm hoping that's what we're working on here, and not perhaps number 68. All right. Here we go. Trying to keep all this straight. I could have more 7th ray, obviously. So this is the end of Ray's initiation number 67, and today is still the 15th of February, 17, and beginning of Ray's initiation webinar commentary number 68, probably not today, but beginning from page 567. All right. Well, we are being set up for a massive understanding of the true initiatory process. And then when we reclaim what has been earlier said about initiation, we should have a vast context in which to understand. The vaster the context, the more easy the understanding, unless, of course, we manage to get lost. But hopefully that is not the case. So we'll be coming back with Ray's and Initiation Webinar Commentary number 68, beginning with page 567 at some point. I don't think late tonight, maybe, but probably, hopefully tomorrow. And we'll see you then. All the best, and thank you for thinking along with me and, of course, with Master DK, as he has offered incredible teaching. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.